Galatians chapter 5. I've been going through our study here for quite some time now, nearing the end. Verse 24 tells us, "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So we just got done comparing and contrasting the fruit of the flesh, we'll call it, and the fruit of the Spirit. We understand that the fruit of the Spirit, that is a purposeful thing. The fruit of the flesh will happen all by itself. And I thought about this in the juxtaposition between the two. As we look at crucifying the flesh, I want to tell you a story. And I'm pretty sure I've told you snippets of this, but my parents... When my dad and I, we were out at the store, we were getting something for mom, and running through the parking lot was this stray dog. And it came running up to us and got into the car, and I was a young boy. I was probably around Xander's age. I got a kick out of it. Rubbing on his ears, hugging on him. He was a friendly old boy. Big old dog, too. And we wandered around that parking lot looking for the owner, and we stayed in the parking lot for a while, looking for anybody who was frantically looking for a dog, and we couldn't find it. So we brought it home. And mom had a cow. Happy Mother's Day, by the way. Mom had a cow. But he was sweet. He was loving. We got a bowl and we got a leash and we made our promises that if ever the owner showed up, we would give it back. And mom said, okay. Well, we went to go leave. And for the first couple days when we would go to school or work, that dog would be right in the crate where we had left it. Well, after a while, we came home. And the dog had destroyed the crate, ripped up its poor little face. Oh, yeah. Some of you already, I know where this is going, brother. They rip up the crate. I know what's going to happen. We tried to fence it off into a room, ate a hole through a door, shredded the door. We grew up in a trailer, by the way, so those doors ain't very hard to shred. And when they do shred, they shred. Well, my mom got upset. Okay, the dog's got to go. And I cried and boo-hooed, and I loved him. That dog could do no wrong. It chewed up a bunch of my toys, chewed up a bunch of the things that we had, ate shoes and socks and all the things that dogs do, you know, that a bad dog will do. And every time something would get ruined, my mom would say, it's time to get rid of the dog. I would hide the dog. I'd get upset. Meanwhile, hiding the dog in my room would make it nervous. So what would it do? Chew up the things in my room. It was destroying everything in my life. All the cool stuff I had, it would chew it up. Finally, one day, we had locked it up in the back room where we did the laundry. We had a laundry room in the back. We had locked it up in there, and we had chained it to where it couldn't get to the other door. So it had enough room to run around, to move around, lay down, just couldn't get his little teeth on the door. Couldn't get his paws on the door. So plenty of room, just couldn't go that far. Well, he saw the other door, the door leading outside. He put a hole through the wall, dug at it, chewed at it, got through the siding of this trailer. Couldn't do it in a regular house, probably. Got through the side of the door of this trailer. We came home. The dog was outside, still on the tether. Just sitting there on the front yard. All happy to see us because we came home. Would you believe that was the final straw for my mom? And I left out the part where he chewed up the entire carpet in the hallway. We had to remove the entire carpet in the hallway. But every time, oh, he's my boy, he's my buddy, please don't get rid of him. I love him, I love him, I love him. You know, that's what we're doing to our old nature that produces all that bad fruit. No, hold on, I got to take care of it. If I don't do this, I'm going to be sad, I'm going to be miserable. And what we don't realize is that thing that we think means so much to us, that thing that we think is doing so much for us, is actually causing more harm than anything else. Oh no, mom, we can't get rid of the dog. Dogs are good for security. I tell you what, I was a lawyer back in my younger days. I could come up with a good argument for anything. But I tell you what, our house needed protection from that dog. It was not a good boy. No matter what I felt about him, he was not a good boy, right? Now, what am I trying to say here? I'm trying to say this, is that inside of you is an animal just like that dog. And the problem is that we love that animal. That's why whenever we get the impulse, we give into it. That's why whenever we just that little thing, you know, for me, it was hard as a young boy to separate what I wanted, which was that dog, and reality. And that is why we get stuck. This old sin nature confuses us. This old sin nature messes with us. Right? And sometimes we have become so sweet to our sin nature that it takes barely the lightest impulse. Right? I got in trouble at the grocery store yesterday or the other day, going through the grocery store. Boys like to point out stuff. You know how kids do. Right? You did it, I did it, they do it. Can we have this? No. Can we have this? That's not what we came here for. Can we have this? I didn't plan on buying that, so no. Little tiny finger pointed over at some juice. Everybody got juice. The tiniest provocation sometimes for our flesh. The tiniest bit. Why? Because we haven't crucified it. Why haven't we crucified the flesh? Why is it that some of us, we struggle to put the flesh on the cross and mortify it? Why is it? Because we love it. We like the stuff it likes. We enjoy that. You got to get a little angry at that beast inside you if you're willing, if you're going to be able to live without it. You got to get a little frustrated at it. You got to realize the depth of the problems that it causes you. Right? Now, we talked last week about a garden. You are growing a garden in your heart. And you're either bearing the fruit of the Spirit or the fruit of the flesh. And if you've got the fruit of the flesh coming up around the fruit of the Spirit, it's going to be like your garden. You've got weeds choking off the good things. Now, you tell me. Some of you are planting now. Some of you might have already planted, depending on what you're growing, right? How many weeds are okay in your mind? Many of you sit there and say, not in my garden. I'm out there, I'll pull those things out, zero. Well, that ought to be how we are with our spiritual garden. Well, a little bit of poison good? Is a little bit of poison, a little bit of problem? Is any of that okay? You know, hey, what if I go out and I put just a little bit of sugar in my gas tank, am I going to be okay? That's no bueno. But yet we live as though spiritually it's different. That I can have a little bit of sin and that's going to be okay. We lie to ourselves thinking that we can handle it when we ought to be grossed out about it, right? Now, for some of you visitors, churches don't normally have an official hot dog, but we have one here, and there's a reason for it. I had the other day, I had one of those Oscar Mayer hot dogs, and I know. There was something hard inside of it, brother, something hard inside the hot dog. Throw the whole thing away. Whole pack into the trash. Right? Never should have bought these in the first place, right? Now why the whole pack? Because if I can't trust this, I can't trust any of it, right? Look at our sin. If I can't trust this flesh for the smaller impulses, for the things that I know are down there that I'm constantly fighting, why would I trust it in anything? Again, not that we're looking to affect how we see ourselves, but we got to be serious about this thing we're driving around. This thing we're driving around wants to sin. It wants to pick fights. It wants to be susceptible to problems. It wants to get into the trouble. It wants that. I think we've all been there. Why would I want to do something I know would cause me havoc? That's your sin nature. It's still alive. We got to crucify that thing. The crop you are growing in your heart requires that you do proper weeding, that you properly get rid of the things that have an effect on you. As the Lord said, it is better to remove a hand or pluck out an eye. Right? If it's causing trouble for you, it is safer to remove those things. Well, I tell you what, my problems aren't often these hands or these eyes, but it's what these hands and these eyes find to look at and to occupy themselves with. And I'll tell you what, I would much rather remove those items. And that's what he's saying, by the way. He wasn't giving us a admonition to maim ourselves. He's saying, hey, if there's something there that is causing you to stumble, something there that's causing you issue, you need to cut it out. It is better to not have those things, right? And again, using that illustration of the hand, it is better to, man, if this right hand ain't doing you any good, if this right hand is getting you in trouble, get rid of it. And I tell you what, if we live our lives strategically willing to remove that sin, remove that issue that's in us, remove that temptation, we will live much happier lives. You know, at my house, I got a weed whacker, got the weed whacker going. Just hack it down. Well, what happens after you hack it with the weed whacker? Well, that boy will grow back up, won't it? Now, Tim taught me a really cool thing, and that's where you just drop, what is that, Agent Orange we spread on the ground over here? You go through, everything's dead. Everything's dead when we're done with it, right? We need to go to war with our sin. Because I'm telling you, for as fun as it sounds, and as entertaining as it may be, it is no good for you. What we need is a washing of the sin that we have now. A removal of anything that is in our lives that is feeding the flesh. And we need to strengthen the spirit, which is what we're doing here this morning. You came in, you got dressed, you grabbed your Bible. Here we are, ready. We sat through that devotion, Lord, brother, it was a good devotion. Lord blessed. You know, we got Sunday school, we'll have some preaching later. We're going to have a good time today in the Word, right? That is what your spirit needs. It needs the Bible. It needs connection with the Lord. It needs that practiced relationship, that one-on-one time. So what we must do then is take it seriously. Every day, much like your physical diet, mind your spiritual diet, mind what you're taking in, because it could possibly be not very good for you. Go to Ephesians 4:22. Ephesians 4:22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, it is not just the putting off of the old things. It is the strengthening of what's there. You know, working on my yard, I've put lime out on my yard and trying to find some good fertilizer to put out there. I'm trying to do something, right? Because it is not looking great. I feel bad. You drive through all these lush lawns. You come up to mine. You know the neighbors are judging you. So I'm doing stuff, right? Doing stuff. It's not just the removal of the leaves that I got to do. You got to renew what's there, right? It's not just washing something. It's doing some repair. It's doing regular maintenance. Your spirit requires regular maintenance, right? It requires prayer. It requires Bible study and reading. It requires teaching. It requires fellowship and encouragement. And yes, your body requires service, much like any other machine out there. If you don't use it, it will corrupt faster. Anything made needs to be used and on a regular basis. We need to do that renewing, getting things going, getting things moving. I love springtime. All those tools and toys you tucked up for the winter, you're getting them back out. You're tuning them back up, dusting them off. Your spirit needs regular taking care of. And if we neglect that, or if we go through the motions of it, we'll have a hard time. We had a young man this week. He stalled out right in front of our front gates. Had a van. And I went up to him, heart full of compassion. Of course, he thought I was coming to yell at him. Rolled his window up real quick. Hey, you okay? He rolls the window down. Yeah, she ran out of oil. I go, you mean gas? No, oil. Oh. Now, his friend came by, and either he didn't really run out of oil, like he said, or his friend is a magician, or me praying for him, the Lord blessed his vehicle. I don't know. But an hour later, that car was gone. Right? All right. That, how do you, and my father-in-law was looking in the back. I bought an old Suburban from him. Well, I didn't buy it from him. I think I did a myriad of chores just to get it. That's how I killed that thing. So when he says, it's out of oil, flashbacks. You know, and I sat there, I said, okay, well, you gotta know how that's, hey, how's your spirit? How the spirit that dwells in you, how strong is it? How sensitive are you to, there's your spirit, how sensitive are you to the Holy Spirit? How well do those work? How's that relationship going? If you're sitting there for the first time thinking, you know what, it's been a while since I've thought about that. Well, then we're like that guy over there on the road who ran out of oil. Or all those people, there was another lady, she stopped up here on the intersection in the worst spot possible while they're doing the work. And the reason why she stopped is she ran out of gas. She was willing to tell me that she ran out of gas, but then she argued that that's not the reason why her car won't start. We sit there and say, how do you not know? Hey, if you don't know how sensitive you are to the Holy Spirit, you're in trouble. You don't know it yet. If you don't know how strong you are spiritually, you're in trouble. You just don't know it yet. And what will happen is a big event will happen, or a series of small events will happen, and you'll burn out. And you'll sit there and you'll go, well, why? And the answer is simple. When was the last time you renewed your mind? When was the last time you did some maintenance on your spirit and your soul? Now, in this world, they say some maintenance for your spirit or your soul is a trip out west, go sit on the beach, go out and do this, or take some time in the afternoon and get you a cup of coffee. Hey, those things are lovely. Vacations and time to yourself and reading a book under a tree. Hey, if you enjoy, go plant out in your garden. Those are wonderful things. They're not going to help your spirit, though. Right? That'll help this. That'll help this. But if you're not doing some regular soul maintenance, some regular spirit maintenance, you could do that on regular intervals and still burn out, and you'll wonder why. Well, I took my vacation. I've been taking my breaks at work. I've got my me time. What's going on? Well, you got me time, but you ain't got God time. You abandoned one. You're going to have some trouble. It's important to take care of both the vessel as well as the spirit. And I'm going to even say this, the spirit requires more attention than the body does. Now, aren't you glad God don't make you choose one from the other? You could do both. But you require both. You need both. Or else what will happen? You'll have a well taken care of body and a garbage spirit. And I'm not, you know, before anybody comes, well, brother, what about you? You got to take care of the body. Believe me, I know. If it ain't right, it ain't right. I know, you know. Shouldn't be winded tying your shoes. I got you. But you got to take care of both. And that's what we're talking about, the renewing. That renewing that must take place, that strengthening, that putting things back to rights. Even if you're not off kilter, don't we do that? Hey, come on by. We're going to have revival services. Hey, we're going to have our conference. And at the beginning of the conference, we're going to devote ourselves to revival, right? Lord's going to, I'm going to hear this magic sermon, and this magic sermon is going to fix everything wrong with me, and I'm going to be okay. You know, you wouldn't need a large adjustment if you're consistently where you should be. And that is not as hard as it sounds. Is it better to repair or to maintain? I mean, think about it in your long life of things that you've taken care of, the things that you've put back together. Is it easier to maintain or to repair? My personal opinion, better to maintain. Far better. Less damage, less work, less whatever. Right? Believe me, I've learned a few lessons along those lines. It is better to maintain than to repair. Your spirit should be renewed daily. I get up in the morning. That conversation needs to not be between me and my cell phone. You know, I look over, there's the wife. Hey, good morning. Maybe the baby's crying on the monitor, so you get up or whatever, whatever have you. You just, okay. But on that way, Lord, good morning. Thank you. Thank you for this morning. Be with me today. Lord, please strengthen me. All my trust is in you. Acknowledging both for him and for you that your focus is on him. That's the point. As the thing that we are doing. Now, there's a reason why we must crucify the flesh, right? Because those affections and those lusts talked about here in this verse, those affections and those lusts, they will corrode your life. They will be persistent and consistent enough. We'll even start to make excuses for our sin. Right? And then the thing is that we'll even go so far as to hide our sin away. And you sit there, you have to ask the question, if you don't think that what you're doing is wrong, why hide it? Well, other people think it's wrong. Why do they think it's wrong? Well, that old preacher. Well, that's just the way some religious people are. Or is there a concrete reason why? We're afraid to figure it out. You know, we need to be those people that will sit there and say, hey, pastor, I understand that this is wrong, but I've never been taught why. I understand that it's wrong, but I don't understand why it's wrong. Do you have any notes? Do you have any things like that? You know what? I'm not always quick to get back on those things, but I do enjoy it. As a matter of fact, we had a couple men just recently put me on some tasks. I had a good old-fashioned time. Looking stuff up, diving into books, dusting some dust off of some things. Hey, okay, all right, there it is. I love that. Here's some notes. Here's something to consider about that. I don't mind doing that. And as a matter of fact, I didn't mind asking for it either. You know, I guess, I know sometimes we're afraid of feeling dumb. Personally, I've never had a problem feeling dumb because it's one of the only feelings I get. Right? And I'm not being humble. You know, I'm surrounded by some really talented, surrounded by some people who know what they're doing. So I'm not trying. I wasn't a dig for funny. I like to surround myself with people who know what they're talking about. So oftentimes I feel like the child, right? I was talking about my car. I thought it was one part. My father-in-law looks over and goes, no, those are in the back. Oops, wrong side of the car. It's what it is. Ask questions. Don't worry about how you feel. Don't worry about how you look. Worry about what is. Worry about what's really going on. Reminds me of those people we'd get. They wouldn't put their work orders in, so they'd go without a toilet or a kitchen sink or a dishwasher because they were afraid we'd come in and judge them for how dirty their house is. Well, you ain't got a toilet, you ain't got a dishwasher, you ain't got water. Guess what? That's going to compound the problem. Well, if you got sin in your life, hiding it will make it worse. Why? Because sin does what it does. You plant some weeds in the garden, you're going to choke out the crop. And all of a sudden, now you're hiding bigger and bigger and bigger problems, right? When it comes time for everybody to bring in the rest of their vegetables, you're going to feel bad. So you're going to go off to the Kroger, you're going to buy those groceries, you're going to buy those things, bring them in, make yourself look good. You can't do that. What we need to do is maintain our spirit. Those affections, those lusts, they are destructive in our lives. So what do? We do the right thing. We call that nouthetics, replacing the wrong thing with the right thing. I have to put the right thing there, right? We'll get one of our kids, they'll be doing school, and particularly it's my buddy Caspian. He'll grab a hold of something, and instead of doing a piece of work, he'll be sitting there fussing around with something. You got to take out the thing he's fussing with, give him the pencil back, and guess what? The work resumes, right? You got to take out the toy, that thing you're playing with, that sin that you're not supposed to have that you think is oh so fun. You got to replace it with something that's going to do you some good, something you can actually use. You know, I've done that. This, right? I'll have this conversation with the kids. This will get you in trouble. This will get you out of trouble. Which one you want? Okay. Right? All the voices, all the things this world has to offer us will get you in trouble because it is carnally based. This and the service of the Lord will get you out of trouble, right? You know, oh, I'm sitting here, I'm grumpy about this at the grocery store. This guy cut me off, this, that. They're out of my favorite kind of this and blah, blah, blah. You know, if you're looking for someone to invite to church, your mind would be different. Oh, my boss this, my boss that. Now, I know most of you are retired, but we got some visitors. Maybe you still got some jobs out here, right? Oh, my boss this, my boss that. If you're praying for your boss, maybe you wouldn't be so aggressive. Maybe you wouldn't be in such a foul mood. Oh, this loved one, this family member, this spouse, this child, this whatever. Are you praying with him? I didn't say for, I said with him. You praying for him? You lifting this situation up to the Lord? Are you in the book saying, Lord, how would you want me to fix this? Some of us, you know, we get into conflict because it's like spice. It hurts a little bit, and because it hurts a little bit, it feels good, right? You get that little release from your brain. Perilous. Perilous. It is better to solve the problems. It is better to fix the conflict. It is better to approach things in a God-honoring way. Right? If I'm doing the right thing, it'll be even harder for me to do the wrong thing. Now, how do we get this conviction? How do we build up conviction, right? Well, you got to look at what a crucifixion was, right? First, we got to have a trial. Put your old flesh. You want to call it your impulses, you want to call it whatever, you put your sin nature on trial. What has it ever gotten you? Well, we had some good times. We had some laughs. Yeah, but would you say that in the end, you were in a better place or worse place? Right? Those words you're trying to stop saying, that attitude you're trying to fix, that sin nature you're trying to repress, or that free thinking that you want to establish in your mind, is it better or worse? You know, talking to somebody, had the marijuana debate with somebody just recently. No. It fixes my mind. It clears my mind up. Makes me think better. Makes me more productive. I said, you've lost 4 jobs in the last year. Can you honestly say that it's made you more productive when you are unemployed? It sedates you, numbs you, stops you from feeling things. But can you honestly say in the end you are better than when you began? No. Right? What about your manner of communication? What about some of the ungodly philosophies, the worldly philosophies you attribute to? Right? I mean, we think about this, you know, some of these new ways of thinking about yourself and defining yourself. Everybody's got a philosophy. Everybody's got an ism to attach to their names. Right? Maybe not us, but many of them out there. You got to have an ism. You got to have something that you're fighting for. And here's the thing. I serve the Lord. That's where my identity is. You know what happens when I start trying to identify myself outside of who God says I am? Anxiety. Self-doubt. Anger at the world. Because you know what often accompanies an ism of almost any kind? Humanism, well, whatever. You know what accompanies almost every ism? Hatred for other things. I've never met a humanist who wasn't somewhat angry at a godly person. Wasn't somewhat angry at godliness. Go ahead and think of any ism, anything out there, any worldly philosophy from trans rights to whatever. Infused in there somewhere is a hatred. Not everybody, but a lot of them. A majority of them sometimes, depending on what we're looking at. A majority of them have a hatred for something. Hatred for something. Sometimes it's not just a hatred for something, it's a hatred for someone. But you know what? I stand against a lot of what this world has to say, but what does my God tell me to do? Love them. So here we are. We're putting it on trial. We say that my ungodly philosophies are helping me. More often than not, no. Liquor, tobacco, marijuana, anything else you can throw in your veins, Is it good for you? No. What about your anger? What about your selfishness? What about every other sin? Is it really making life better? No. So we put our flesh on trial and we figure out not only are they guilty, but our flesh is the worst kind of guilty. Because you know what? You can be sorry, but you still crave to do the thing. Right? One of my favorite things, and again, I say favorite not because it's good, but because I favor it. I'm sorry for what I said. I shouldn't have said it like that. Anybody else, you with me on that? I should not have said it like that. Have you ever sat there and in the end said, I'm in a better place? You know, I said it like that. You know, and sometimes you're just joking, and sometimes you really think you really got a good thing. But for the most part, if you can look back and say, my flesh only wants evil, my flesh only causes messes for me, and yeah, I enjoy it in the moment, but in the end, there's always a mess I've got to pick up. It should fail the trial, should be found guilty, but it's not sorry. It's going to keep at it. It's like that murderer who goes on trial and says, I did it and I'd do it again. Well, they lock that person up. They throw away the key. This person's crazy. That's your flesh, my friends. Flesh ain't sorry. The flesh is always hungry. The flesh is always desirous. So we put that guy on trial. We got to find him guilty. Now, what's the sentence? You don't get to pick anymore. You don't get to decide anymore. You stand over there. And for as much as you want the wrong thing, I'm going to do the right thing. And when I set out to do the right thing, right? You get up on a Sunday morning, you get up out of bed and the birds are singing and there's a cool breeze coming in through the window and it is beautiful outside. But it's Sunday morning, you know you got to go into church and that preacher, you know he goes too long. You know he ain't got nothing new to say. So you're like, maybe I'll sit out on the porch this morning. Maybe I'll take it easy. I'll have that second cup of coffee and I'll just tell everybody I was too sick to come in. When your flesh gets to craving that, what do you do? Guess what, flesh? We're going to church. I'm going to wrap you up in clothes. Well, maybe you take a shower first. I'm not here to judge. Get that shower. Get those clothes on. I get into church. Well, I don't want to give the gospel. It's embarrassing. Well, guess what, Mr. Flesh? You're going to be embarrassed because that's what we're going to do. You know? I think about that bookstore I went to. I didn't want to talk doctrine with those Mennonites. I mean, some part of me did. But there's that part of the flesh. Don't be mean to them. They let you use the bathroom. Just get out of here. Talked for a good long while. You know what I did? I walked away going, hey, I had a conversation. I wasn't arguing with them. Good guys. I had a good conversation. I smiled. I was smiling the whole time. They were smiling the whole time. We were laughing. We were enjoying ourselves. I hope I taught him something. I'm sure he hopes he taught me something. I'll never be back, so he'll never be disappointed. But I don't want to. You know what? Stop. Have a godly conversation. Ain't going to kill you. It'll make you better. Sometimes it's not even about trying to convince or coerce or give the gospel or tell someone they're a sinner. Sometimes it's just stop and having a godly conversation with somebody. That's why I love our Friday mornings. Do I talk enough about our Friday mornings? I love our Friday mornings. We'll sit there for an hour, don't we? We'll sit there for an hour just talking about Bible stuff. Every now and then we'll fall into politics. Every now and then. But for the most part, man, we get on that Bible. We've sat there. There was a couple of Fridays ago. We sat there for a couple hours having a conversation there until 11. We had one a couple of years. We had one last year. It was almost time for lunch by the time we got out of the thing. Talking about what? The Word. Have a godly conversation. It's good for you. Right? When the flesh says no, have it. Be good for you. Forgive somebody. Flesh says no, we're going to hang on to this because the moment I forgive them is the moment I let them go without. They ain't in prison. You think that bitterness, that anger in your heart, that disobedience to the Lord, you think that's hurting them, that's affecting them? It ain't doing a thing for them. You ain't talking to them. They ain't talking to you. You're both living your lives, but you're stuck. Number one, God ain't forgiving you because you ain't forgiving other people. And number two, you get to be miserable the entire time. Does that sound like they're getting punished? As you, punishing yourself. So guess what, Mr. Flesh? When you want to be a grump about it, when you want to be selfish about it, we're going to forgive anyway. We're going to get down on our knees and talk to the Lord about how we're going to forgive this person until everything in me snaps into place. We're going to take this to the Lord. We're going to keep taking this to the Lord until everything falls into place. And then we got to execute them. And execute them. Now, what does that mean, execute the flesh? It means we hang him up there. We don't let him come back down. The answer is always no. Now, listen, this body is going to want to eat. You feed it. This body's going to need recreation. It's going to need rest. It's going to need, from time to time, some entertainment. Go ahead. But it is the type and the timing and the attitude in those things that the flesh cannot control. The flesh does not get to control. The answer is no. It'll always be no. Right? With children, right? I practice giving my kids decisions. Right? I'm there, you know, for Gideon, you can have this or this. For Caspian, he's got a wider range of things. But I have him explain to me his motives. Right? Xander, I give him a lot more leash. Why? Because he's earned it. We have conversations about his decisions. Would you like this kind of a thing or that kind of a thing? We discuss it. He grew out of his bed. His bed broke. I let him pick out what kind of bed. He built it himself. Built it by his own two hands. All right? You build him up. You know what kind of decisions I let Melody make? None. She's a baby. Now, every now and then, do you want the red one or the green one? Here we go. We'll work on her. What kind of decisions does the flesh get to make? None. Flesh doesn't get to make any decisions. Because under no circumstances can that flesh be tamed. Under no circumstances can that flesh ever get into the driver's seat. You know, that's the difference. You know, I joke about this. People who claim that their animals are their children. You know, one day Xander will drive. I will teach him. I will grow grayer in the hair, but I will teach him. All four of them, Lord willing, if he tarries his coming, will learn how to drive. The dog, never. Never. Right? If ever there is anything for me to leave behind to anybody, my children will be in the will. Hopefully the dog is long gone by the time I go, but the dog will not be. That drives you nuts when people leave estates to their dogs. Why? Because it's a beast. It's an animal. I love that dog. Believe me, I love that dog a whole lot more than I love some people. But he is a dog. Can't trust. He doesn't make decisions. Hey, Hans, should we go north or south for a vacation? He doesn't get to pick. Why? Because he's an animal. He likes to chase the cat and eat out of their litter box. He makes zero decisions. Your flesh should be treated the same. It is crucified. That impulse, I'm not listening to you. You're crucified, right? Dead men don't tell me what to do, right? That old part of me, that should be inaccessible to me, incommunicable to me. And I tell you what, nowadays we've got some fancy stuff. We've got the ability, you know, if somebody bothers you, someone's harassing you, you can block their phone number. You can block them on social media. You can get restraining orders. They can't come to your house. Your biggest enemy lives on your back. And you got to cut down every communication it sends to you. Or else it'll run you. The more you listen to that impulse, the stronger it will get. Right? Now here's the thing, and we'll look at this next week. That's actually a good thing. You're actually walking to happiness. You're actually walking towards a better life. That, not just life, but as Christ called it, life more abundant, right? Well, how am I supposed to sail in this hot air balloon if I don't bring all my weights? Is what we're saying with a sin. How am I supposed to win this race if I'm not carrying my dumbbells? You gotta lay that stuff aside, and you'll find life a lot smoother, a lot better, and a lot faster. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're grateful for the book of Galatians, Lord, the fact that we can look into it, and that, Lord, we can learn by instruction, and, Lord, not have to stay the way that we are. Help us, Lord, each and every last one of us to crucify the flesh, and, Lord, put these things into subjection, that, Lord, you may be honored and glorified in all that we do. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.